There's a hymn that starts off, "There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know that it's the spirit of the Lord." God's here right now. Thank you to the team for leading us this morning in worship. That was, for me, that was very powerful. And I just want to name, I know we have a team of people here on staff that are just amazing, and I'm so grateful for them. And I'm grateful for all the volunteers here. And I don't say this to kind of boost Dean up, but Dean works really hard at making sure that the songs that we sing and the praise prayer match and connect together. And so I just would love for us just to say a prayer for Dean right now. He has just done a tremendous job throughout this season in a lot of different ways. But I would just like to pray for him and celebrate kind of who he is and who God has created him to be. Will you pray with me as we do that? God, we just thank you so much for the love that you have given to our brother Dean. And throughout this season, he has worked so very hard to keep us connected, not only to you, but to one another through worship. God, we thank you for his servant heart, for the spirit in which he goes about his weekly role to prepare a space for us so that we might engage you in your holiness and your love in a creative and wonderful way. We thank you so much for the team that he leads and how they all draw us in to the space where we can encounter a holy and wonderful and loving God, a space that is free from the burdens and the barriers that we can oftentimes throw in the way. So we thank you for your servant, and we praise you for the love that you have for him and the love that he has for us. God, in all things, we just surrender to you now, and we just release all of the thoughts in our mind that might keep us from experiencing your full grace at this time and experiencing kind of what you want us to hear, and may we then move forward boldly in your name, and we just praise you and your son, Jesus. Amen. Thanks, brother. Thank you so much. We're grateful for you. As I shared last week, I've been working on this sermon for about 8 months, and candidly, as a person who likes to figure things out, I have not been able to crack the code on this, and I need your help in these last 4 months to figure this out. See, I truly want us to listen to the scripture that is being read, and so if you have your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter 11. We're going to be looking at verses 28 and 29, and Mitch is going to put it on the screen right now. And what we have is a scripture verse that really is a deep verse and a deep few verses here. And I want us to read this. I really want to get us through. So we're going to do this kind of praying through the scripture. It's called Lectio Divina, and you probably never heard of it before. But what it is, we're going to read this scripture three times. I'm going to read it for us three times. The first time I read the scripture, I just want you just to listen to the words. Just listen to what they're saying. I'm going to take a little pause there, and I'm going to read it again. And the second time, I want you to just really be paying attention to a word or a phrase that God might be bringing to the surface for you, something that kind of rings true to your soul. And so I want you to be thinking about that. And I'm going to read it a third time, and at that third time, I want you to start processing why you think God might be bringing that word or that phrase to your heart. Okay, everyone got it? Yes? Thumbs up? Okay, good. All right, great. So here we go. So I'm going to encourage you to close your eyes. Don't fall asleep yet. Just close your eyes. And I want you to hear these words from Jesus. "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Now, as you open up your eyes here, what were some of the words or phrases? You can say it out loud. What were some of the words or phrases that kind of popped out for you?
Come to me.
What else?
Take my yoke.
Learn from me. I was actually talking to myself some there. That's great. Now, what else? What are some other words?
Gentle and lowly.
Anything else?
I will give you rest.
So this scripture was given to me last fall as I was wrapping up the 2019 year. And last year, my word for the year was release. And I started praying about what God's word for me was for 2020. And this scripture provided some insight and connection to what I needed. Now, this scripture is a very robust scripture that within it contains so many powerful messages. But the message that God gave to me as I was praying through this scripture and I was hearing this word over and over again, and that my Clearness team and some others around me, as they were praying about what God might be saying to me to kind of focus on this year, to kind of connect, what was God's word for me this year? And the focus and the word that kept coming to me for my year this year was the word rest. Rest, Brian, rest. Now, if any of you know me at all, you know probably what I did first was chuckle at that, because that's not who I am. But the second thing I did was immediately started to create a strategic plan for myself. For the year. And so this is what I did. I created a plan, and one of them was for my body to rest, was to lose some weight to give my body rest. I've done a good job at that so far. I'm excited about that. Way to go, Brian. Okay. Next one was my mind to get rest, so that I would take vacations and not respond to emails. Staff, how did I do on that one? Bad, yeah, thumbs down. Yeah, that's not good. Another one is that I would turn my phone off from 11 at night till 6 in the morning. Guess how that went? Very bad. Another part of it was for my soul to find rest, that I would spend 10 minutes each day in silence. I've done a good job at that. That's one of the good ones. I don't talk. It's not about me praying to God. It's just quiet. Just be quiet for 10 minutes each day. Another one was to sleep 8 hours a day. Now, that went really well, right, for like the first 4 months or so, and not so much anymore. Like after about April or so, it's been like 4 or 5 hours, maybe five. Get a massage every other month. Have not done that. And so I have realized that to find rest in this season of life right now is extremely difficult for me. To find rest in the midst of COVID, to find rest in the midst of a building renovation, to find rest in this emerging vision that I hear God calling us to for the community of effort, and especially our congregation, the changing staff, the wild season of connecting and disconnecting with people, district and denominational responsibilities that I've started or that are coming to a close, all of these things have hindered me from fully taking advantage of what God desires for me in terms of resting. God desires for me to rest. Now, when God gave me this word last year, I laughed hysterically. I could not believe it. And when my Clearness team affirmed this, I laughed again. It was an absolutely unbelievable word that I could not think of even partaking of this year. And it's like, God, really? You want me to do this, right? You got to be kidding. But the scripture that was read today gave some really deep conversations for me and a deep spade work into my life. It's a spade work that I have definitely needed. And some things this year I have come to understand, and some other things I have yet to understand, and I'm not even coming close to comprehending. I do not rest well at all. Amen. I don't. And I'm envious of those who can turn it off, who can go on vacation and like shut everything down. I'm envious of those of you who can go home at night and be like, I don't care about work anymore. I'm doing my own thing this year. I'm so envious of you. I don't do that. And those who can find rest in the midst of struggles, I mean, I do not rest well at all. So I was thinking about this past week. And I was thinking about this, and I decided to share a little bit about where I am in my spiritual journey as God has been showing me some things recently. That no matter how I live through each every year I find myself getting a little bit more tired, a little bit more weary. And have you ever thought to yourself, if I had just one more hour in the day? You know, have you ever gotten to the end of your day and wondered kind of, where did this day go? Well, I mean, where did this happen? And I wonder if I'd have accomplished anything. And I wonder if you were anything more than a chauffeur or a maid for that day, right? I mean, did you ever get home from vacation and feel like, boy, I need a vacation from what just happened? I do. Why is that? Why do we seem to be running through life at a breakneck speed? Why don't we stop? Now, perhaps we have this feeling that if we stop, something or someone's going to pass us by, so we press on. We continue in a rhythm that we cannot live with, a rhythm that is not sustainable for our life, a rhythm that God desires for us not to have. So we commit to another committee, or we sign our kids up for another team, or we join another group, or we do that extra assignment at work, and all good things. But as a popular saying goes, good is the enemy of great, right? And all good things will come to a pass, but good is the enemy of great. And we read Psalm 46, and it says, be still and know that I am God. And goodness, and that's nice, and we can hear it here, but it's tough to hear it here. So we press on. Have you ever felt that God was so far away that you wondered if God ever heard your prayers, as if you're praying and it just kind of drops right back down and it just falls like another weight on your shoulders again? Why does it seem that everyone else hears from God, but we just can't figure this one out? And what if you're going through your day and you're not feeling fulfilled at the end? And I think one of the reasons that we feel the way we do is because we have gotten out of the rhythm that God designed for us to have. Starting in the first chapter of Genesis, the beginning of the Bible, we see this rhythm. See, God creates the world, and each day is a different part of that creation. And after 6 days, it says he rests. And in Genesis 2:3, it says God made the seventh day holy, which means set apart. It's to be different from every other day. That's what that means, okay? So the seventh day wasn't a day to do nothing. It was a day to be set apart, something different from every other day. He set it apart because his different was to rest on that. And you fast forward to the book of Exodus, the nation of Israel had spent 400 years in captivity as slaves in Egypt, and coming out of Egypt, God reminds them again the rhythm of life by giving them the Ten Commandments, and one of them says to rest. In Exodus 20, verse 8, it says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Not remember the Sabbath day and don't do anything, right? It says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, which means to set it apart, right? To do things different on that day. And it says, for 6 days you will labor, that's the norm, and on the seventh day you will rest, right? And in verse 8, God reminds them of creation. For 6 days God was working, right? God was doing the heavens and the earth and the sea and all of that is in them. And on the seventh day he did something completely different. He rested, right? Therefore God blessed the Sabbath day and he set it apart. And so what takes place after all of that is astounding, because this is what we humans do. See, the religious leaders of the Jewish nation then set up laws around those Ten Commandments that God gave them. See, God gave Israel 10 commandments, but the people kept breaking those commandments, and priests set up 613 other laws so that they wouldn't break the 10 that they weren't supposed to break to begin with. So God says, don't work on the Sabbath. That's all that needed to be said. But they had to define work. See, they defined it as you couldn't walk more than a mile on the Sabbath. They defined it as you couldn't cook. They defined it as you couldn't do this and you couldn't do that. And so what God created to bring freedom, the religious leaders made it into a burden, or made it into a burden. That's my fault. It's a good thing that we aren't like that, right? So to help them get it, by allowing them to kind of go through these laws and to gain more insight into what there's to do or not to. In the book of Leviticus, one of the greatest reads of all time, in Leviticus 25, God creates another new rhythm of life. He says it's called the Sabbath year or the year of Jubilee. And to go along with the Sabbath day, God tells them that they are to work the land for 6 years, and on the seventh day will be a Sabbath year where they take rest and live on what God has given. The year of Jubilee happened every 50 years, and so they would have at one point 2 years together where they would do absolutely nothing, do something different from what they have done all this other time, and they would celebrate who God is. Now imagine, here's a God that brought them out of Egypt, took care of them for 40 years in the wilderness on their way to the promised land. And do you know how long the journey should have taken from Egypt to the promised land? Anybody know? Like 11 days. It should have only taken them 11 days to get there. But it took them 40 years because they did not trust in God. They only trusted in themselves. And you know what? They never experienced a year of Jubilee. They never experienced a Sabbath. They had never experienced a rest because they were so focused on what they needed to do that they forgot to focus on what God was calling them to do. Our world's a little bit different right now. I mean, it's different than when the Israelites were coming out of Egypt. I mean, how is it even possible to find rest in this world? Prolonged stress and anxiety and fear, a lack of peace break us down physically and emotionally and mentally. Research shows that underneath the greatest stress, the body and mind, what they need to do is they need to rise to the occasion. And so research shows that our energy burns at a higher rate, our respiration increases, our blood pressure goes up, our body temperature goes up in order to meet the stress. The immune system then begins to break down, and it's been calculated sometime between like 75% and 90% of all doctor visits are stress-related. How many people have you talked to in these last 4 months have used the word stress or anxiety or fear in texts and conversations? The word stress is from the Latin word that means to be drawn tight. And some of us inside this morning feel drawn tight emotionally or physically, mentally. Some of us here this morning spiritually are being drawn tight, that we're not able to see the power and the wonder of God in the spaces and the gaps, and the times of rest. And as we talk about rest, I bet there would be some of you thinking out there, Brian, I mean, I push hard, man. I work hard, right? I pray hard. I play hard. And I don't need the rest. I mean, I'm fine. I'm okay. You don't have to push this on me. But you've been slugging it out, and you know it, and you're doing okay, and you work the extra hours. You push hard, and you want to get that, you know, you want to make sure your family's taken care of. Everybody's going well. But maybe the whole concept to you, maybe it's just that you think rest is soft, that if you're resting or you're stopping, that it's something that you shouldn't be doing, or it seems passive, or it seems complacent, or like you've kind of given in and eased back if you kind of rest, if you kind of slow down, if you stop. So what does Jesus say about this? He says in Matthew 11, he says, come to me all who are weary and are heavy burdened, right? And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden's light. Now, there's a book called The Message. It is a paraphrase of the Bible. I typically don't like to use this in worship just because it's a paraphrase, not the real thing. But there's something in there, this phrase in there, this scripture in there, there's a phrase in there that really stood out to me, and I'd just like to read this scripture to you from The Message. It says this, are you tired, worn out, burned out, come to me. Get away with me, and you will recover your life. I will show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. And then this phrase here just nailed me. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I will not lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. I love that phrase, learn the unforced rhythm of grace. And that's what rest is. Rest is about grace. It's a gift that God desires to give us. If you break down this passage and you put it into one statement, I believe it says this, being with Jesus leads to rest. Will you say that with me? Being with Jesus leads to rest. Abraham Joshua Heschel, who's a great Jewish writer, said, the Sabbath gives the world energy it needs to exist for another 6 days. The word weary in this thing means to struggle, to toil, right? And I think about the last few weeks of my life. I want you to think about the last few weeks of your life. How have you been pushing yourself, whether at work or at home? Think about how hard it is to understand what this coming year looks like for your kids. Think about how crazy it's been shuttling kids around all summer, perhaps taking care of aging parents or siblings, or getting ready for school, or braving the stores, or traveling for vinyl vacations, preparing parties and cookouts. We hope for peace. We hope for rest, but instead we find pandemonium. Friends, I am weary. I am heavy laden. I'm worn out. I'm tired. How about you? Are you weary? Are you tired? Jesus is so very clear that he will give us rest. He will give us rest. Not that he might give us rest if we do blank, but he will give us rest. And I love that. There's not a doubt that Jesus will give us rest. And I think the reason why we don't understand this rest is because we get in our own way and we choose to not take the yoke of Christ on us, but rather keep our own heavy yoke on our shoulders. And we don't realize that all we have to do is just take it off and give it to him, and he's going to give us something much lighter. Seriously, think about your daily life, the early mornings, the late nights, often because you think you have to, okay? But they're taking a toll on you as you simply try and keep up. Think about all of the sleeplessness that goes on in our country. A guy named Robert Sullivan says this, that over 70 million people either suffer from insomnia or sleeplessness by choice. In fact, 38,000 deaths occur every year because of sleeplessness. 64% of teens at school blame their low grades because of sleeplessness. The most severe cases happen between the ages of 30 and 40 years old. Over the age of 65, 50% of people suffer from insomnia. We want rest. We need rest. Now, I guess if I would hit the pause button and said, Nolan, if I hit the pause button here on this message, and I said, Nolan, will you do me a favor? Will you turn down all the lights? Will you close the curtains for me? Yeah, that's nice. Nolan, turn down these lights a little bit more here. Let's get these lights nice and down. Yeah. And if I said, let's put on some soft music, and I had Dean come up here and play some soft music. Oh, yeah, it feels good, doesn't it? And if I just talked nice and softly, and I said, go ahead and close your eyes, everybody. Go ahead and do it. Go ahead, close your eyes. And I just sat, and we just sat quietly in this space. You'd probably be pretty grateful for that, wouldn't you? Just to have a moment here. And if we stayed like this for maybe 5 minutes, we'd start to hear little snores. Now, we're not going to do that. I'm not going to let you sleep here this morning. Right? You all are ready to go. But I'm sure some of you thought when I said that, man, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? Just to take a nap. Just to stop. You know why? We need rest. We want rest. We desire rest in our lives. And we're not just saying rest is all about taking naps, right? I mean, because that's a good thing to do. That's fun. But we're saying we need to slow down. Jesus uses the word burdened, and it means to be overloaded. That's kind of the nature of it. And Jesus is painting this picture of a person that has so much heap on them that they can't take it anymore. They're kind of at their limit. And every step that they take, it reduces their strength and it becomes more and more oppressive. And every step that they take is just so heavy on it. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that we Americans have added a lot of extra heavy weight on us. You know, what are our kids growing up to be? How has our marriage gone or is going? Our relationships with our parents and siblings and coworkers, and the list goes on. And even just saying that, I feel heavier and heavier and heavier. And So how do we experience all that God wants us to experience? How do we experience the rest and the rhythm that God desires us to have today? See, the tough thing about that answer is that it's different for each and every person, right? I believe the answer is wrapped up in this, though. Our job as Christians is the unrelenting pursuit of who God is calling us to be. Our job, your job, and my job is the unrelenting pursuit of who God is calling us to be. And if we are pursuing God relentlessly, if we are seeking after God relentlessly, then all of our fears and our worries, all of our stresses will be released, and our yoke that we have then will be Jesus's yoke, and that yoke will be light, and we won't have to worry about things. And the point behind God's original understanding of the Sabbath was not only rest, friends, it's refreshment to bring new life, like Dean shared earlier, to bring life in abundantly. That's what the Sabbath was about. That's what the Sabbath year, the year of Jubilee, was about. It was a gift, not something that we had to do, right? But something that we get to do. For me, refreshment is hanging out at home and hanging out with Jen and Kate. And refreshing for me is going out on the golf course. Refreshment for me is reading and learning. And yes, taking a nap. Sometimes taking a nap is a spiritual thing. I heard this quote once: sometimes you need to meet God at bedside, brethren, and listen to Reverend Sheets. That's what it said. That's allowed. Being with God, reading his word, spending time engaged in who God is calling us to be. And while those things might be obvious answers, it's the thing that we miss the most. Sometimes just being with God and reading his word can provide us rest, because that's different from what we do all week. A few weeks back, I did go play some golf, and I caught the sunrise through the corn in the silos here of Lancaster County, and it was one of the most majestic things I've ever seen. You know, people say you have to go to, like, Hawaii, or you have to go to someplace else to see majestic things. Sometimes just seeing the sunrise over the corn is a pretty majestic sight. And at that time of day, it was just absolutely breathtaking, and I was having a hard time that week, and it was a reminder to me. I was driving up over the hill as a reminder to me that God was still God and that I am not. Amen. And that all I needed to do was take all of these things that I was putting on myself, all of these burdens I was putting on myself, and saying, I don't need to carry this. I just need to rest in him. I just need to release and trust him. And you know why it's so hard for me to do? Why it's so hard for us to do? Is because we're doers. We do things. We people who get things done. We have lists upon lists. So at the end of the day, we can see all the things that we've done. I mean, who has time to stop? I mean, I don't. At least I don't think I do. Some of us, this is easy. I mean, slowing down, resting. I mean, I want what you have. And for the next 4 months, you need to teach me. You need to teach me how to slow down, how to rest. For others, it might mean that we have to cut something out of our lives. We don't work as hard, right? It's the most common things when it comes to resting. The most thing that we say is, who has the time to rest? Don't we? Who has the time to take a break? I don't. And we give our list of things to do, right? But here's what I have learned. We have the time to do whatever we want to do. Here's an example. As I share, I like to golf, and in case you didn't know that. And I get really busy. However, I try and take time here this summer to get in around as much as I can. Even if I haven't been able to do it as much as I want to, I try and do it. And I do it early in the morning, so I get up. I've gotten up at like 4 o'clock on a couple of times here over the last month and a half, 2 months. And I get an early tee time. I try and get over at Fox Chase at 6 o'clock, but there's always this couple who's always there at 6 o'clock. But I always get like a 6:10 maybe. You make time to do the things that you want to do. You make time to do work, right, because you need to do that. You make time to hang out with your family because you need to do that. But have you made the time to actually rest? Have you made the time to put some space in there for you, for yourself? It's the same thing that you make time to exercise, right? You take time for school. You take time for church. Whatever you want to do with your time, you can do it. But time, we never have enough, do we? How many times have we said that? If I had another hour in the day, you know what I would do with that? Fill it up with a meeting. Do an extra study for a morning message. That's what I would do. I would sign up for something else. You know, we'd make another commitment, and maybe in your life we need to cut something out. Maybe we need to stop pursuing some of the things that are not of God or do not help us in our relationship with God, and we need to do things in which we slow down enough to hear that quiet voice of God. And I think for me, honestly, if I'm really candid with you guys, I think if for me, a lot of this has to do with my trust. It's my trust issues. To give somebody else something is difficult for me. And so for me, it's trusting God to take these heavy burdens that I think that I have, that I think are heavy burdens, and to say, here, God, you got all this. I don't need to do this anymore. You can handle this. It's difficult for me to do that because I want to be in control, right? I want to know what's going on at all times and not just turning it over to him, because he's there waiting with like this feather to place on my shoulders, and I have this like 2-ton truck, right? And he's just ready to put that on me and say, Brian, you don't have to worry about anything. You're going to be okay. God is saying, come to me, be with me, take what I want to give you and rest. Take it. Let me worry about those problems for you. Let me take care of you. Be my child. That's what God's saying. I ran across this great poem I want to close with. And as we close here, we're going to take some silent time in between this poem and then the last song that we do. And during that time, I just want you to think about all of the things that you think you have to do and really determine if there's anything that you can let go of to create some space in your life to better hear the voice of God. And I want to read this poem. It was a poem by a teenage girl who passed away from cancer. And it's called Slow Dance. And so I want you to hear these words. So I invite you just to close your eyes, get comfortable. And just listen to these words as we kind of enter into this time of prayer and this time of silence. Listen to these words. Have you ever watched kids on a merry-go-round or listened to the rain slapping on the ground? Ever follow a butterfly's erratic flight or gazed at the sun into the fading night? You better slow down. Don't dance so fast. Time is short, the music won't last. Did you run through each day on the fly when asked how are you? Did you hear a reply? When the day is done, do you lie in your bed with the next 100 chores running through your head? You better slow down, don't dance so fast. Time is short, the music won't last. Have you ever told a child we'll do it tomorrow, and in your haste not see his sorrow? Ever lost touch, let a good friendship die, because you never had the time to call and say hi? You better slow down, don't dance so fast. Time is short, the music won't last. When you run so fast to get somewhere, you miss half the fun of getting there. When you worry and hurry through your day, it's like an unopened gift thrown away. Life is not a race. Do take it slower. Hear the music before the song is over.